Hello, this is Pastor Barry. I want to thank you for taking the opportunity to listen to our podcast. If you're a member of our church, I'm so glad you're getting the opportunity to listen. If you're listening in for the first time, we're so glad you have a chance to listen and hope you will visit us in the near future. More information is available on our website at www.newpointchurch.live. Thanks and enjoy the word God is speaking.
When I was a kid growing up, and I'm sure my dad can attest to this, I wouldn't go to sleep. I'd be up at 8 o'clock, and of course, Christmas Day, whatever reason, your parents make you go to bed early when you're a little kid. So it's 8 o'clock, and I'm laying in bed. It's like, Santa's coming, Santa's coming, Santa's coming, Santa's coming. 9 o'clock would come, Santa's coming, Santa's coming, Santa's coming. And then I would probably be around 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. I knew I heard him on the roof. By golly, Santa is on the roof. He's almost in the house. And then I got to thinking, it's like, we don't have a fireplace. How is he getting in the house? And of course, Mom and Dad always explained it's Santa's magic. He would come into the house because of Santa's magic. He would get into the house. And I'd stay up, and I couldn't wait. I'd sneak out and see if Santa had come yet. Nope, no presents yet. Maybe I didn't hear him. Maybe that was something else I heard on the roof. And I'd sneak out, and I'd sneak into Mom and Dad's room at about 4 o'clock in the morning. Is it time to get up and open presents yet? Nope, not yet. You got to wait. I never did understand why I had to wait. And then finally, they'd give in to me because I came and I pestered them so much. 6 o'clock in the morning, we can go open presents now, Santa's here. And we'd come out there and there would be just all kinds of gifts that weren't there the night before because Santa came to our house. And I remember one in particular where we were opening Christmas presents and there was a train set up. And I had wanted a train so bad. I think I sat on Santa's lap 7 times that year to tell him I wanted a train. Wanted a train for Christmas and there was a train set up that Santa had set up for going in there. And I come in there, I was so excited playing with these games and these toys. And you know, that excitement never really left. But it changed as you get older. It kind of changes a little bit. And yes, I sleep through the night now at Christmas time. Except when my kids were little, I didn't sleep through the night because they were exactly the same way that I was. But they get so excited about Christmas and what it's all about. Today I get excited about Christmas because it's a time of family. When we lived in Florida, we didn't get to see our family very often. But when Christmas came, we didn't get to see all of our family because I could hardly get Kim down there. But she didn't want to go to Florida anyway. But the family would come and we would gather together and we would just celebrate the birth of Christ together. And it wasn't about giving gifts. It wasn't about any of that stuff. It was about spending time together as a family. And this Christmas, we had what we called Thanks Christmas. Because this relative has to get together on this date, and then this other relative has to get with their family on this date, and then this other family. So the only day we could find was the day after Thanksgiving, or actually the Saturday after Thanksgiving. So we had Thanks Christmas, and that was really the first time all of our families really been together. And we were still missing a couple, but we got most of us together. And it was just a good time of enjoying our families. It's just a time when family can come together. But you know, I remember when I was a little kid, one of the things that I remember a lot, and there's a slide up here, but I remember the 70s. How many of you remember the 70s? Few people. Well, I had a grandmother. And God bless my grandmother. I loved her dearly, but she was stuck in the 70s. So it would be 84, 85, 86, and every year I would get bell bottoms and tie-dye t-shirts for Christmas. And we would tell her, Grandma, I don't like bell-bottom pants. Give me straight leg pants. Next year, bell-bottom pants. It's just the way Grandma was. She always got us bell-bottom pants. And the other thing I remember about my grandmother is you couldn't give her certain gifts because she was one of these that just most of the time if you would give her a gift, she would be crass enough to say, I don't like that. She'd just tell you how she felt. She was just being honest. Nothing wrong with being honest. She would just say, no, I'm going to take that. You can either take that back or I'll take it back. And except for one Christmas, I remember this vividly for some reason. I don't know how old I was. But for some reason, we decided to go get family portraits. And so that was going to be the gift we gave Grandma for Christmas, was this family portrait. And I remember giving her that gift, and she sat in the chair, and she cried. The only gift that mattered to her was her family. That was the only gift that mattered. Not bell-bottom jeans. I had another grandmother, a great-grandmother, and I only remember a couple of times that this happened. But she would send us a fruitcake. How many of you love fruitcake? Dorla does, all right. So we'd get this fruitcake. And we would get this package that would come. I think she sent it in the mail, as I recall. I don't remember for sure. And this package, I think if we weighed in at somewhere between 60 and 70 pounds. It was heavy. And we'd get it, and we'd remember from the year before how bad the one the year before was. Of course, we didn't want to hurt Grandma's feelings any, but this cake wasn't very good. We'd still try it, though. I'm not sure why we would still try it, because we'd go and we'd break a few knives trying to cut into it. We'd finally get into it with a chisel and a hammer. We're into the cake. We're going to try a little piece of it. And we'd bite into it, and that fruit was the gummiest, nastiest, it was bad. Wasn't very good. And the smell, oh, the smell, it was just as bad as the taste. But that fruitcake was something that she sent every year. And I remember, I'm convinced of it, she recycled it and regifted it every year. Right? It weighed more every year. Every year we'd get it, that fruitcake would weigh more. I don't know what it was. But it was good intention that she shared, and it was a tradition, after all. How many of you heard of an MRE? A couple of you. If you were in the service, you know what an MRE was. It stands for Meals Ready to Eat. I think that's an overstatement, but that's what they claim to be, is Meals Ready to Eat. How many know what the shelf life of an MRE is?
Forever.
Most of them say 25 years, but they'll last a really long time. What's that?
Long as a Twinkie.
That's probably true. MREs lasted a really long time. I remember when we'd go out to the field in the Army, and of course, they'd issue you an MRE. And we'd usually trade them around because everybody kind of had their favorites. I don't really recall what my favorite was, but most of it was dehydrated. So you'd have to add water to it and rehydrate it. And it was always something with sauce. That was the main meal. It was always something with sauce. Don't know what the sauce was. I don't know that I want to know what the sauce was, but it was something with sauce. And we'd go, and a lot of guys, cold is not very good. Sometimes you had to eat it cold because you didn't have a choice. But a lot of the guys would go find a truck with a muffler, and they'd set their little tin can and pour the canteen of water in it and let it sit on the muffler until it would heat up. The only problem with that is it tended to taste a little bit like muffler, which actually enhanced the flavor sometimes. Now, I was in radio communications when I was in the Army. And radio communications, we dealt with, if you think of a ham radio operator today, that's kind of what I did, but it was for the Army. And as a ham radio operator, we had this really powerful AM radio. And when you would key that mic, it would send out 400 watts of power. Let me tell you, my friends, that was a microwave oven. And it worked fabulously. If you'd tie your canteen to that antenna and key it up, you had boiled water almost instantly. So that's how I would heat my water up. And it didn't taste like, I might have been nuking myself or poisoning myself, but it didn't taste like fumes from the exhaust. So I would take and I'd heat up that water and pour it in there and eat it. And well, when you have been out in the field for a long time and haven't had much to eat, no hot meals, it really wasn't all that bad. Has anybody ever eaten one before other than the military guy? I saw Dan raise his hand. A few of you have. They're okay, and they give them out when there's some crisis going on, hurricanes, things like that. They'll often hand out MREs. But anyway, MREs have a side effect as well. And without getting graphic, let's just say they bind you up a little bit. Now, if you can imagine, thousands of military people, men and women, out in the field with no place to go to the bathroom, it's probably a good thing they bind you up. And they did. You go to the field for a week, you don't go to the bathroom for a month. That was kind of the way that it works. Anyway, without getting too graphic here, we're going to talk about fruitcakes today. You know that both the combination, the first MRE was a fruitcake. The Romans had a cake, they called it, I have to find my notes here just a second, Satura, which consisted of pomegranate seeds, pine nuts, raisins, barley mash, and honeyed wine. And they were packed with calories and carbs and fats, and they lasted a long time. They never expired, much like MREs. But see, that was the first MRE, was a fruitcake back in Rome. And you've all heard the song, "We Wish You a Merry Christmas," and then it says, "Bring us some figgy pudding." And everybody says, "What in the world is figgy pudding?" Well, I found out what figgy pudding was. Kind of interesting. In England, they call bread pudding. So it wasn't pudding like we think of pudding, like mashed up stuff. It was bread. And the custom was for the nobles, when they would come and sing carols at their house, the nobles would then give this bread to the carolers. So hence, bring us some figgy pudding. Give us some bread, is what they were saying. See, you learned something new today. Something I learned too. I didn't know that anyway. We're going to make a different kind of fruitcake this morning. We're going to make a fruitcake. It's a spiritual fruitcake. I'm going to call it the New Point fruitcake. And it's going to be a fruitcake that everybody likes. It's not going to be one that nobody likes. Because we want a fruitcake that everybody likes, right? We don't want a fruitcake that tastes like rubber and is real chewy and weighs 100 pounds and... We want a fruitcake that's sweet, and we bite into it, and it's just delicious. Much like that turkey, when you deep fry a turkey and you cut into it, and it's really juicy, and you eat that, we're going to make something good. Now, see, all your mouths are watering now, aren't they? It's good. We talked a couple weeks ago about the fruits of the Spirit. And in Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So we're going to use the fruits of the Spirit as the fruit in our fruitcake. Is that all right? We're going to make a fruitcake. And we have the fruits of the Spirit. First one is love. Love. I'm going to tell you a story, and I may have shared this with a few of you in the past, but when we were in Florida, we attended several churches when we were in Florida, a couple that we were, I would call ourselves regular members of. One of them was founded in the Church of God, which is not something that we were around, but we were praying for a church. And we said, Lord, just bring us to the right church. We trust you that you're going to guide us to the right place. And we went to this, before this happened, Janice decided that she wanted to get a job because she loves to work. But no, she doesn't love to work. But she got a job because she was kind of bored sitting around the house. The kids weren't around. There really wasn't much to do. It gave her something to do. So she got a job at, I can't remember the name of the store now, some retail store. But anyway, it doesn't matter. There was a certain way that she had to go to work that we never would have gone this way if she didn't find this job where she worked. And she was coming home one day and she said, I think I found a church. I said, really? She said, yeah, there's all these banners up. There was a sign in front of the church. A sign. See, we got a sign out there. There's a reason you have signs. And she said, I think we're supposed to go there. So we get online and we look and we're like, oh, it's a Church of God. We're not going to like it. It's not Spirit-filled. And, I'm not sure if we're going to like it. So we decided to go anyway because Janice felt really strongly and she never listens to me anyway. So we're going to go to this church. So we decided to go. It's Sunday morning. We walk in, and the church is probably smaller than this. It probably sat about 50 people at the most. It was pretty full, and we came late on purpose. You know, you come late on purpose if you're a visitor, so a whole bunch of people don't talk to you because that would be really awkward. We don't want to be awkward. But there was somebody who greeted us at the door when we came in. And I remember the first thing that the guy and the lady hugged Janice and the guy hugged me. And I'm like, that's kind of awkward. I don't want to be hugged by strangers. But they hugged us. They said, we welcome you here. And they sat and they talked to us for, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes. The service was about getting ready to begin. I thought, wow, that's kind of cool that they took the time to get to know us. They took the time to show us love. And we go in, and now they had a tradition. We probably had to start this tradition because it was a pretty cool tradition, actually. So they would do praise and worship. And between praise and worship and the pastor preaching, they would say, okay, everyone greet one another and greet the visitors that are here. That is a good thing. Maybe we got to start doing that. So I promise you, every single person in that church came up to us at that point in time. There was a line of people, because we were the only visitors, there was a line of people lined up to come and meet us and to shake our hand and to show us love. Janice and I left that place and said, I don't think I've ever been in a place like that before, where people are showing us the kind of Christian love that the Bible says we're supposed to show one another. And I know I'm an introvert. How many of you are introverts? Several of us are introverts. It's not comfortable coming up and giving a stranger a hug. It's not. But the Bible says, I think it's better a hug than a kiss. The Bible says we're supposed to greet one another with a holy kiss. That would have been really weird. But I'm telling you what, the love of Christ was in that place. What we felt, the love in that place was like no other place we were in. So love is one of the fruits of the Spirit. But this little church didn't end there. We decided, okay, God wants us here. We're going to be there. And the second Sunday we're there, much like the second Sunday we were here when we were back here, there's some similarities between the two, which are kind of ironic. The worship leader resigned. He actually was going on to missions for 3 months. He was going down to neatest guy. Him and his wife were just really neat people. They were going down to Mexico, and they had to leave. They couldn't continue to lead worship and go down there. They felt like God was calling them down there. And the pastor and his wife, who also spent a lot of time with us and loved on us, and not that we necessarily needed lots of love, but I'm telling you what, when you get it, it's amazing what God's love is like. It's amazing when you have people around you that just love on you and care about you. And they came up to us and said, why don't you come out to dinner with us? We'd love to have you out for dinner. And they took us out to dinner and we got to know them. Wonderful, wonderful people. Just the neatest people in the world. Desired for the Spirit to move. Didn't quite understand what the Holy Spirit was all about. Didn't fully, you know, understand the fullness. And we got an awesome time to meet with them. Now, we had never said anything before about us leading worship or doing music or anything. And he said, do you guys do music? And we said, yeah, we kind of do. We've done that once or twice before. And he says, you know, we need a worship leader. Now, we've never met them before. He didn't know us from anybody. We could have been some really wacko people that played hard rock and roll or something. Of course, we don't really look like that. I don't have the long hair. But nonetheless, we ended up leading worship there for almost a year before we came back here. But we still remember the love, and not only the love, the joy, and the people. The people were always happy. You'd walk into that place, and they would always have a big smile on their face. So we're building the batter. The first thing in the batter is love. So we have the fruits of the Spirit. Building the batter. I got way ahead of myself in my notes, so give me just a second here. The next ingredient is the foundation of what this church is based on. It's what Pastor Jim preached for a long time. 28 years? 28 years? I've forgotten already. That's terrible. Grace. Grace, grace, grace. His wonderful grace. It is the foundation of this church. It's kind of like the flour in the batter. Now, I'm not a baker, but I understand flour is like the biggest part. I've seen Janice make cakes before. The biggest ingredient is flour, isn't it? Depends on the cake, maybe. Yeah. We'll say it is in this case. Oh, we're getting to the frosting. Frosting's coming. But the biggest thing in the cake is grace. Grace, grace, grace. His wonderful grace. The second ingredient is the Holy Spirit. We should earnestly seek the Holy Spirit, and we should earnestly seek His gifts. The Holy Spirit is allowed to work in this church, and as a church body, the Holy Spirit is the second ingredient in our fruitcake. So if you're not feeling fruity, any of you feeling fruity? Feel fruity. It's the fruits of the Spirit, the joy, the peace, the patience, the long-suffering. I was watching a video the other day, and it was kind of funny. Actually, I think Deb was in it. It was like from 10 years ago or something like that. It was a really long time ago. And Deb and maybe it was even Barb. I'm trying to remember now. Maybe it was Janice. I don't remember. Anyway, they said, I want patience, and I want it now. So sometimes we get impatient, don't we? But the Holy Spirit, the third ingredient in our batter is worship. So as New Point, we're making our New Point fruitcake. The third ingredient is worship. And it is so important that we have worship in our church. So important that we have worship in this body. And we do. We have awesome worship. We have awesome worship leaders. Amen. Man, there wasn't a big amen there. I don't know what's up with that. We have awesome worship leaders. Amen. All right. Yes, we do. And God's going to bring more in. We have, God's growing the worship team. And pretty soon we can turn off that crazy soundtrack we're in, and we don't need it anymore, because God's going to bring the musicians in. He's going to bring the drummers in. He's going to bring the other guitar players in. He's going to bring the right people into this place, and worship is going to raise out of here. It's going to raise up to heaven, and heaven's going to hear us when we sing. Amen? Amen. Worship is the next ingredient in this. The next ingredient is faith. Faith is the next ingredient in the New Point fruitcake in the batter. But it doesn't take very much. It's only the size of a mustard seed. The size of a mustard seed moves mountains. It is through faith that we're saved. It is through faith that we receive eternal life. It is through faith that we receive healing. It is through faith that we receive life and life more abundantly. It is through faith that God is allowed to work through us in the works of this ministry. And it is through faith that we give our finances and are able to receive back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It is through faith we receive and operate in the gifts of the Spirit. It is through faith that we are all here today. We're all here today because we believe through faith. But it didn't take much, just a little, but just about the size of a mustard seed. That's the next ingredient. And the last ingredient in our fruitcake is prayer. Now, we have been talking up here about the Hour of Power prayer that we're having in January. And I would ask every person, I'm calling this church to a time of prayer and fasting in January. And I know we all have busy lives. Trust me, I know. I work a full-time job, and it's in Bloomington, so I have to drive an hour and a half every day. I'm going to be here as much as I possibly can. Be here. If you can only pick one day a week, pick one day a week and come here. If you can't come any night because you work or something else, then pick a time, an hour during the day to pray. You don't have to be here with the people that are here. Come and pray. Sign up on that sign-up sheet. Asking you to pray with this church. This is a time we're going to come together, and we're going to seek God for His vision for this year, for this church, for this community, for this nation. We're going to say, who knows the nation needs prayer? Nation needs a lot of prayer. Prayer is the next ingredient. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 17. Now see, this was kind of my recipe, but I thought it was kind of good. Rejoice always, fruits of the Spirit, joy. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, worship. For this is the will of God in Jesus Christ to you. Kind of encapsulates everything that's in the ingredients we have in our fruitcake. So, Deb, what's the best part? The frosting, the icing on the cake. Now, I know most fruitcakes don't have icing, but ours is going to have icing. Is that okay? Because if fruitcakes had icing, they would probably be a whole lot better. We're going to have icing on our cake. Oh, I love icing. And you know, it's for whatever reason. Now, Janice is a really good cook and a really good baker. She fixes everything wonderfully. But there's something about that store-bought cake with the icing that's that thick on it. It's just good. I don't know how else to explain it. Janice can't make icing like you can buy on some of those cakes. She just can't. Her icing's good, but the icings you get on some of those cake, I love icing. I could eat icing without the cake. I always get the corner piece because it has icing on two sides. See, Deb does too. So icing is the best one. So what is our icing? We've been talking about this a little bit and touching on it, but we're going to get into a little more detail now. The icing is the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in ministries, but the same Lord." See, the icing, see, this is building us up here. The icing is the gifts of the Holy Spirit imparted unto just the pastor. Nope. Just the pastor and the elders. Nope. Okay, we'll include the deacons too. Nope. It's for the entire body of Christ. The gifts of the Spirit is for everybody to operate together as one body. We all, without all of it, we'll have too much of one thing. That's not a good thing. Too much berry is not a good thing. Ask Janice. It's the body ministry. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will. Icing on the cake, the gifts of the Spirit. We've been talking about power and authority. We've been talking about the authority of Jesus Christ that we have through him. Now the power. The power of the Holy Spirit, which he gives us through his gifts. So let's start with first one. How many want wisdom? Amen. Some of you that are already wise, I know. But I want wisdom. The Greek word used here is sophia, and the definition is wisdom broad and full of intelligence, used of the knowledge of very diverse matters. Knowledge of very diverse matters, wisdom. So what's the difference? Now, you know me, I have to ask these questions of either myself or God or the Bible and say, well, God, don't we kind of have wisdom naturally? We all went to college. Well, maybe all of us didn't, but we went to school. We've lived, some of us have lived longer lives than others. We've lived long lives. We've learned things we shouldn't do. We learned things we should do. We have wisdom. What's the difference between wisdom and spiritual wisdom? And so in doing some studying and reading, spiritual wisdom is wisdom that's supernatural. It's beyond our ability. It's beyond our own thinking, our own knowledge. 1 Corinthians 2:6 says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. It's funny that it talks about the rulers of this age and they have no wisdom. How many knows we need to pray for wisdom, that God imparts his supernatural wisdom on our leaders in this country, on our president, on the House of Representatives, on our Senate. We need to pray wisdom, a supernatural wisdom, because they ain't got it on their own. The Bible just says they don't. Rulers of this time don't have it. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For his Spirit searches all things, the deep even things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the Spirit? Let me start over again. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. This gift of wisdom. You know, I'll tell you another story. I'm in a story mood today, I guess. When Janice and I first got married, I was in the Army. I think I've told most of you that before. And I was we were in Germany for, I think, the first year of our marriage. And while I was in Germany, we love Germany, by the way. If you've never been there, go there. It's a great place. We got to see a lot of sites and castles. Now, when I was there, the wall was still up, so we never got to go to East Germany. But as I mentioned, I worked in communications, and when we go out in the field, guess what? There's no electricity, so we had to have generators to generate the electricity. And part of my job was to work on those generators when they didn't work. Now, we talk about wisdom. I learned one thing from a guy who was, I gained some wisdom from man. So a guy I was working with a generator, and he had his wedding band on. And he decided to short it out against two posts on the generator. And he nearly lost his finger. Wisdom, take your wedding ring off when you're working on a generator. So I gained a little wisdom, took my ring off, and every time I'd work on the generator, I'd take my ring off and I'd stick it in my pocket so I wouldn't lose it. And got home one day after, well, actually I'd been out in the field for about a week, and got home and do this number. Where did I put my ring? Where did I put my ring? I'm in trouble. I lost my ring. So I didn't say anything to Janice for like a week because I knew, and then one day she noticed, where's your ring at? By the way, I don't have my ring on now because it's too small. Anyway, need to have it resized. But anyway, I'm looking around for my ring, and it's like, ah, where is that ring at? And I mean, we looked everywhere for this ring. We looked in every uniform I had, every pants pocket. I even drove back out to the area where we were doing maneuvers at, because I figured if I dropped it on the ground, I know I'm never going to find it again, but I'm just going to go look for it. Didn't find the ring. Literally 20 years goes by for this wedding ring. I didn't have a ring for 20 years. And Janice one day said, it was our anniversary. I believe it was like our 25th anniversary, and she wanted me to have a ring. So she started praying. She said, Lord, give us wisdom. I want to know where this ring is. And the Lord spoke to her and says, go look in his army bag. So she pulls out my old army bag, which was up in the attic. It's all dusty and stinky. And she takes out a pair of pants and reaches in the pocket. There's my wedding ring. Isn't that amazing? Those gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. You know, sometimes when you have the gift of knowledge or the gift of the word of knowledge, sometimes God will give you, the gift of wisdom. getting ahead of myself, may give us, and there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is knowing something. Like, I know my check engine light's on the car. Wisdom is, I know why it's on. I have no idea why it's on. So I know my light's on, but I don't have any wisdom about it. But sometimes God will give us a gift of wisdom about ourselves, about our circumstances. He may instill in us about just knowing that, you know, hey, I need to share a life experience with Darla because it's going to do something to her. She needs to learn from my wisdom. And God will give us that wisdom in those times. Maybe, you know, you just got named in a lawsuit and you need wisdom about, what do I do? I don't know what to do. And God can give us through that gift, that supernatural wisdom as to what to do in that circumstance. I know I prayed for that a number of times. A job situation. Should I take this job? I don't know. Give us wisdom, Lord. I need the gift of wisdom, that supernatural wisdom that I don't have. So we've only got one ingredient now in the icing. The icing's coming. The second one, knowledge. And I just touched on knowledge a little bit. The gift of knowledge is knowing something. So knowledge is knowing something. And wisdom is understanding something. So, like I said, my check tire light is on in my car. Now, I actually have wisdom about that. Guess what? My tire's low. I'm so wise. But I still haven't filled it up yet. Still needs air in the tire. It probably has a hole in it, which is probably even deeper wisdom than I even have because it keeps coming back on no matter even when I put air in it. But knowledge, the gift of knowledge. God will give us something about somebody. I've seen people in the healing rooms exercise the gift of knowledge quite a lot. They'll give us something about somebody, and the Holy Spirit will speak through us and let us know something. I was ministering to somebody the other day, and sometimes those things are weird. Some things that happens in strange ways. How many of you were here when, I believe it was Darla Peterson spoke on that Saturday when you were doing the healing room sessions? Were any of you here for that? A couple of you are. I'll reshare Darla's story if I can because it was really kind of funny. And I believe that Mom and Deb and Darla Peterson were in a car and they were talking about knowing when it's coming from God and knowing when it's coming from your own thoughts. And sometimes you feel something funny or you feel something strange. And Darla's sitting there, she says, I feel it. I feel it. I feel my seat. It's getting warm. It's getting warm. And then she looked over and saw that the heat switch was on. So I can't tell it as funny as she can, but it was kind of funny. So sometimes we feel things. But I was ministering to somebody the other day, and it, just a strange knowledge came to me, and I thought, that's just weird. It can't be right. It's in my head. But I spoke it forth to this individual, and I said, rabbits. Right? What in the world does rabbits mean? Immediately, that person knew what rabbit meant because the Holy Spirit was speaking through us. And when we speak these things, when God gives us a word of knowledge about something, sometimes it's weird. Sometimes it's strange. It's like, I don't know. Is that me or that's God? Don't be afraid to exercise that gift. You know what? You might be wrong sometimes, and that's okay. But if you don't step forth in faith and exercise that gift that God's given us, then it's really, really difficult to let God use you in that way. The gift of knowledge. I just amazes me in the healing room sometimes how God uses people. And they'll speak a word and somebody will say, how did you know that? It's because of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't anything we knew or anything. It was because of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop there. We'll get more of the icing later. We'll get more of the icing and talk about the icing, that thick icing, that gooey, sweet stuff that's so good. Oh, you're all getting hungry now, aren't you?